Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Have your Bible, hold it up right there where you're at. Let's make our confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God a shout here and right there where you're at? Give God a big praise for His Word today. Well, I'm excited about the lesson we're going to have together today, the study of God's Word. And if you need prayer, there are people standing by. We have a 24-hour prayer line. If you need to chat, just need to visit with somebody, our hosts are ready for you right there in the chat room. But I want to talk to you today about building a family that will last. Building a family that will last. You know, right now, the family is under attack like never before. And, you know, going through COVID, like we've all been going through for the last year plus, you know, our schedules have been changed. I'm addressing the problem right now, and then we're going to solve it, okay? So hang with me. Our schedules have been changed. Our relationships have been strained. And we have had to do different things, a new way, a new method, new routines. And it's really caused a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on the family. Well, as your pastor who loves you and cares about you, I want to talk to you today about how to build a family that will outlast COVID. How to build a family that will outlast the storms and the stress and the trouble and the trials that life offers to you and to me. I know my family's been under greater strain. I know my family's been under greater stress in the last year like never before. And if my family has been, I know your family as well. So I want to address that. I want to fix that. I want to solve that. I want to help you today on how to build a family that will outlast whatever you're going through. How to build a family that will last the test of time. At Church on the Rock, you know, we are a generational church. At Church on the Rock, we are a tri-generational church. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, in the Bible, you'll see the phrase Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God's tri-generational. At Church on the Rock, we are as well. I am for not generational curses. I am for generational blessings. I want to talk to you about that today. You know, the very beginning in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, you know, when God created man, do you know that before, when God created Adam, before he created Eve or a family, God gave Adam a job. First, he created man, then he created him for work, and then he created for him a family. Isn't that interesting? We should have a job before we get married. We should have a job before we get married and build a family. Notice the process. God created man, then he said, Adam, tend the garden. Then he said, I'm going to make you a helpmate. So God, wow, he's for the marketplace. He's for our jobs, our careers, our businesses, but also at the very beginning, God is the one who created the family, the institution of the family. Before God even created the church, he created the family. Before any other institution that is God ordained, God created the family. At Church on the Rock, we believe God is for our family. So, what I want to do today is I'm going to take you to the scriptures. We're going to go to the Word of God. We're going to build a mindset that will build a family that will last, all right? So, got your Bible? You ready? I'm going to go to the board. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, it should be verse 24. Let's go back to 24. There we go. Matthew 7, 24. And we're going to read Matthew 7, 24 through 28. This is the scripture we built our church on. This is where we got the name for Church on the Rock. This is where it came from. 38 years ago, this coming November. Matthew 7, 24 through 28, Jesus is talking about building a house. Jesus is talking about building a house. God is for your house. God is for your family. Amen. Therefore, Jesus is talking, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that would be the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Notice now, those who hear the word of God and those who do the word of God. Those who hear the word of God and those who do the word of God. He said, that's a wise person. A wise person does not neglect the word. A wise person, a wise parent does not neglect the scriptures, the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It says, if I'm wise as a parent, if I'm wise as a husband, as a wife, a mother, a father, if I'm wise, I'm going to hear the word and then I'm going to do the word. And notice, you'll build your house upon a rock. That's where we got our name, Church on the Rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. You know, you and I, the last year, like never before, our house, our home, our family, we've been going through trouble and trial and test and storms. The winds have been blowing. Life has been beating against our house, but it fell not. Aren't you glad that this is a house that would last, outlast the storm, outlast the stress, outlast the trouble and the trial and the test? And the rain descended. So notice now, my brother and sister and my new friend, trouble's coming. Yeah, there's no doubt. Trouble's coming. Even more trouble's coming. The rains are going to come. The storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. But you and I, if we're wise master builders of our family and our home, we're preparing for it. Every day, we're preparing for it. How, Pastor? We're in the book. We're in the Bible. We're in the scripture. We're in the word of God. We're constantly hearing it and then executing and applying what we're hearing. And by doing that, we're building. Notice, hearing, doing, building. Hearing, doing, building. I like that. And even though life's going to beat on your house, life is going to beat on my house, our house will not fall, it'll not fail, but it will outlast the test of time, and there'll be a generational blessing upon your children and your grandchildren. So why? Because it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine, now here's a different person. Here's the law of contrast. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Whoa. They hear the word, but here's the difference. They don't do the word. So the Bible tells me that I'm not blessed in hearing. I'm blessed in doing, executing, applying what I'm hearing. Don't forget now, our process, every day we should be hearing the word. We should be doing the word, and we're building our family that will last the test of time. Everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. I don't believe I'm looking at any foolish people today. I believe I'm looking at people who are wise master builders of your family. God is for the family. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, but you don't do them, you're likened to a foolish person which built your house upon the sand. Oh my goodness, notice, upon the sand, not upon the rock. So what are we talking about? Having the right foundation. Having the right foundation. Isn't it true that the foundation determines really the test and the strength of the edifice or the building that's being built? I remember when we built this sanctuary, let's see, back in 2001, 2, 3, 4, way back then. And I remember it took so long to go so deep. And they went so deep in building the foundation for this dome. This is a 160,000 square foot facility. And to build it, it took a whole lot of time before we could see anything above ground. Why? We were building a strong foundation so that which we built on top of it would stand the test of time. My question to you today is, what is the foundation you're laying for your family? What is the foundation? What are the values? What are the values? What is the foundation? What are the beliefs that you're building your family and your house on? Will it stand the test of time? Will it outlast the storm, the trouble, the wind, the rain? If we build our house on the Word, oh, it will. So it says they built their house upon the sand, and the rain descended. Life happens, and the floods came. Trouble's coming, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. It didn't last, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So what do we learn? If you're a note taker, the foundation for me to build my family that will last, that will outlast the test of time, the foundation must be the Word of God. It has to be built on the Word. Now, today, this weekend, right after Easter weekend, boy, I'm so thankful for last weekend, but you know what? I'm really thankful for what God's doing today. He's doing a new thing, I believe. Psalm 112, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here, and it's going to talk about building a family. It's going to talk about what it looks like when you build your family on the Word of God. Making God's Word the foundation. Making God's Word the source for my core values as a family. My core values determine the choices that I make. And the choices I make determines the direction my family will take. So stay with me now as we read Scripture, as we read the Word of God, Psalm 112. I pray this over my family every day. I pray Psalm 112 over my family, over my children, and my grandchildren every day. Pray. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man or the woman that feareth the Lord. Whoa, blessed is the man or the woman that puts God first, that delights greatly in his commandments. Notice, delighteth greatly in his commandments. What does that mean, Pastor? He's in the Word. She's in the Word. Mom's in the Word. Dad's in the Word. Single parents in the Word. Leader of the home is in the Word. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed, and we want our homes blessed, not cursed, but blessed, and being built on the foundation of the Word of God. And then your family, my family, will outlast the test of time. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly, not just on Sunday or Wednesday or Saturday, but greatly you're in the Word of God. Guys, I want you to do this for me. Go to verse 2. Punch verse 2. His seed, that's your children, shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation, that's generational blessing, and the generation of the upright, whoa, your kids and your grandkids, they're not going to be cursed. They're going to be blessed. Why? Because you're blessed as the leader of the home. Why? Because you're in the Word, and the Word is in you. The Bible is the foundation of your family. Verse 3, guys, help me out. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Whose house? The father, the mother, the leader, the single parent of the house that's putting God first and putting God's Word priority in that household. Wealth and riches shall be in your house, and your righteousness, oh, I love this, will endure forever. We're talking about building a family that will last the test of time. We're talking about generational blessing. We're talking about you serving God, your kids serving God, and your grandkids serving God. We're talking about your kids doing better than you and your grandkids doing better than your kids. We're talking about that generational blessing. Why? Because you're delighting greatly in the Word of God. It's priority and final authority. Say that with me. God's Word is priority and final authority in my life. Oh, verse 4. Let's move right on, guys. Unto the upright there riseth light in darkness. That means guidance. Means that we're getting rid of confusion. And is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. Verse 5. A good man will show favor and lend. You'll guide your affairs with discernment and discretion. This is talking about choices and decisions and guidance and direction for your family. How cool is that? Verse 6. Surely you will not be moved forever. Surely you will not be moved forever. You walk by faith and not by sight. You're in the Word. You're leading your family, built on a solid foundation. And yes, trouble's coming, tests are coming, trials around the corner, but you're standing, you're enduring, you're overcoming, you're outlasting, you're sustaining. Surely you'll not be moved forever. The righteous will be, look at this, an everlasting remembrance. An everlasting remembrance. That is a memorial. That is a testimony. That is leaving a mark on the next generation. Next verse, verse 7. You will not be afraid of the 5 o'clock news. You will not be afraid of the 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You will not be afraid of the evil tidings on social media. It won't move you. Your heart is fixed. You're not going to be afraid because you're trusting in God. You're not going to be moved, upset, uptight, stressed out, taking Valium, getting on drugs, bad habits, because you are in the Word and the Word is in you. You're building your house on the rock. Oh, you're fixed and your mind is set. You have the mindset of, I will not fear. I will not let fear in my house because our trust is in the Lord. Verse 8, ooh, I like this. Your heart is established. Say this with me. I have an established, fixed heart. You got a fix on the Word. Amen. You got addicted to the Word of God. And it's giving you strength. His heart is established. You will not be afraid until you see the desire upon your enemies. Maybe your enemy today is fear, worry, anxiety. Maybe it's sickness, disease, infirmity. Maybe it's a bad habit you got through COVID. Maybe it's a bondage. Maybe it's, I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's regret. Maybe it's remorse. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's rejection. Maybe it's an inferiority complex where you feel inferior. I don't know what it is. But if our heart is fixed in the Word, then we're established and we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we feel. We're only moved by what we believe. And we believe the Word of God. I think it's time for a praise break. Amen. Verse 9, He has dispersed. That means you're generous. You've given to the poor. And your righteousness, that's your family. That's your family name. That's your tradition. That's your culture in your home endures forever, and your horn will be exalted with honor. Pastor, I don't got a horn. What's that talking about, a unicorn? No, it's a metaphor. In the Bible, wherever you see the horn mentioned, it's talking about victory. Victory. So notice that your victory will be exalted, your triumph, your victory will be exalted with honor and with favor. Our response. And you know, really, this is our culture at Church on the Rock. Our response should always be, in facing difficulty, going through tests, going through trials, going through trouble, storms are going to come. It's going to come on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's going to come on the foolish and the wise. It's no respecter of persons. COVID has been no respecter of persons. The trouble, the trial, the test is no respecter of persons because we're in a cursed world, broken world. But our response as people who are building their house on the rock, as people who are building their family that will last the test of time, our response should be, well, what does the Word say? Not what does the news say? Not what does social media say? Not what do my symptoms say? Not what does my surroundings say? Not what do my enemies and the skeptics and the naysayers, what do they say? No way. Our response should be, well, what does the Word say? And whatever the Word says, that's our response. That's the culture of Church on the Rock. That's our power phrase for this month, by the way. What does the Word say? The doctor can give you a diagnosis. Thank God for doctors. The nurse, the lawyer, the psychologist, the psychiatrist, even your neighbor has something to say. But in the final analysis, when it's all said and done, you and I, if we're going to build our family that will last, if we're going to build a strong family, if we're going to build a family that's blessed upon blessed each generation, we've got to teach and train ourselves and our offspring and our children to respond with, well, what does the Word say? Because I'm not moved by what I feel, or I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. Can you say that with me? All the hosts, help me. What does the Word say? All right? So that's so important, so important. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. What in the world does that mean? It simply means that we're not moved today by how we feel. We're not moved today by what we see. We're not moved today by what we hear. We're only moved today by what we believe. And whose report shall we believe? The Word of the Lord. We don't deny difficulty. No, we're preparing for it. We don't deny trouble. We're getting ready for it. We don't deny tests or trials, No. We're preparing for it. So when it comes, our house won't fail, won't falter, and won't fall. But our house, through it all, will come out stronger and better for the glory of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Not moved by what I see, feel, or hear, only by what I believe. And I believe the Word of God. Psalm 1. Ooh, I like this one. I like this one. Psalm 1. We're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Help me out on this, guys. Blessed is the man. And as your pastor, I want you blessed, and I want your home as you're building it blessed as well. Blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the 5 o'clock news, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I want you to notice something. There's a progression here. A progression takes us forward, or it can take us backward. Look at this. Blessed the person that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to go to the ungodly for guidance for my future. They're not the final authority, not my number one priority if I'm going to build my family to outlast the test of time. Blessed is the person who's not walking, then notice standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression. First we're walking, we're trucking, and then we've stopped and we're standing. And we've been standing in the wrong spot, looking at the wrong thing, listening to the wrong thing, giving up to the wrong thing, and now we're sitting. It's progressive. So we don't want to walk or stand or sit in the way or the seat of the ungodly, the sinner, or the scornful. Next verse, guys, verse 2. But, law of contrast. But your delight is in the Word of God. Your delight is in the Word of God. At Church on the Rock, this is part of our culture. We're having a revival of the Bible. I can't say I love God and I don't love the Word. I can't say I love God and I'm not in the book. If I love God, I'm going to be in the book that He has written. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, look at this, does He meditate day and night? What is that? That's a habit. I know during COVID, we've either gotten better at our habits or we've kind of gotten slack with our habits. Somebody said, where there's slack comes lack. Where there's slack, there comes lack. So if there's lack in areas of my life, evidently there's some slack. I have gotten sloppy with my habits. But the good news is, you and I, we can change that. You and I, we can't on our own, but as believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Last weekend, you heard me talk about the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and me. Oh, my goodness. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the Bible, the Word of God, He makes it a habit. We talk about this in our growth track. He makes it a habit to be in the Word day and night, night and day. Next verse. Verse 3, what's going to happen? What's the result? You're building. You're battling and you're building. We're battling life, but we're building to be able to battle life and win big for our family. And you'll be like a tree planted. Everybody say planted. I like that. You'll be like a tree planted. What is that? Stability in unstable times. Stability and consistency and maturity in unstable times. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you will bring forth fruit in your season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Don't you love that? Oh, I love the Word. I know y'all do too. Amen. Moving right along. Our values determine our choices. So our values for life need to be built on the foundation of God's Word. Our values cannot come from the world. Our values, we need to have a Word view for our world view. We need to have a Word view for our world view. And my values cannot be based on current trends, on the culture or the crowd, or what's popular or unpopular, but my values have to be built upon the Word of God. Remember, how do we respond? What does the Word say? So our values determine our choices, and here's the values that we taught our children when they were growing up. Here were the major values. Now, was and is the Blunt family perfect? No way. Have they arrived? Never. But we're lifelong learners at Church on the Rock. But here's what we taught our children were the values of our house. Number one, God loves me as a father. God loves me as a father. God made you to love you. And God wants us to see Him as our heavenly Father. Now, I know some of you have had a poor picture and poor example of a father on earth. So let's look to our earthly fathers. We're putting too much pressure on them to be God. They'll never be God. We can never be God. We'll never be perfect. But I want you to set your sights on God as your heavenly Father. He said that He would be a father to us. I wanted my children to know that God loves them and God is their, not just God, but God is their heavenly Father. And He loves them as a father. Guys, help me out. Number two, the values of the Blunt home. God is a good God. I wanted my children to know that no matter what was going on in the world's broken, the world's busted, the world's in trouble. But no matter what's going on, never forget, God is a good God. You know, Moses in the Old Testament He was speaking to God, and he said, God, let me see your glory. God, let me see your glory. God, let me see your glory. And it says in the book of Exodus that the goodness of God passed before Moses. God is a good God. And somebody said, all the time. If I want to receive from God, if I want to be able to have God do what he wants to do in my life, I have to always remember, no matter what it may look like, God is always a good God. These are the values of our family growing up. And I just want to encourage you, as Bible-believing parents and single parents and guardians and leaders of your house, build your values upon the Word of God. It's called the right, solid rock foundation. Because trouble's coming, test is coming, and if we want our family to last the test of time, we got to build them on the rock. Number three, value of the Blunt House was God is for me. That's kind of our logo. 38 years ago, we started a daily TV program in St. Louis. It was on TCI cable. It was Monday through Friday, 30 minutes a day. 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day. And I ended way back then every TV program, Principles for Life. Don't forget, God is for you. Pastor Blum, where'd you get that? Right out of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. It lists all these things that come against us. And then it says, and what shall we say to these things? Notice, you're to talk the things. You're to talk to cancer, arthritis, lack, depression, anxiety, alcoholism, drug addiction, regret, remorse. In Romans 8, it lists all the things that comes against us, and it says, what shall we say to these things? And you know what it says? If God be for us, who can dare be against us? That's what we're supposed to say. That's what we're supposed to speak to the mountain. Amen. That was the value of our house, still is. God is for me. Number four, fourth value of our life, our family, God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for my life. It's so important that you know that and you're passing that on down to your children and your children's children, that God has a plan for all of our life, and it's better than our own plan. These are values as an example for our house, raising our children. And I think these are core values that will affect the choices and the decisions that someone will make. You pray about what God would have you have in your family as well. Next, as we move along, I'm going to give you some takeaways in just a minute as the team gets ready to come out. But takeaways, all right? Number one, real simple, God's Word has to be top priority. God's Word has to be top priority. You know, we're to meditate in it day and night, night and day, right? What does the Word say? If I'm going to build my family, now remember, at the very beginning, Genesis, God created man, God gave him a job, then he created a wife, okay, and family. Notice, job came before family. Interesting, isn't it? Why? Because the husband, the father, is to be the provider. Right? And I know where we live today, it takes usually a mom and dad to work, and I understand that, but we need to know the priority and God's roles for us from his Word. So God's Word is top priority. That's a takeaway. It has to be if I'm going to build my family that will last. Number two, God's Word has to be final authority. Not only priority, but final authority. What does the Word say? Oh yeah, we don't ignore what's going on. We don't run from battle, trial, or test, or trouble. It's there. The giants are there. But what does the Word say? That's final authority. It may look like that. It may feel like that. I may hear a bad report, but in the midst of all of it, then I go to the Word and I ask myself, what does the Word say? All right? Number three, third takeaway. Take time daily to meditate on God's Word. If I'm going to build my house on the rock, if I'm going to build a family that will outlast the test of time, I've got to, as the leader of my home, I've got to take time. My kids have got to see me in the book, in the Bible, in the Word. I've got to take time daily to meditate on God's Word. Joshua 1:8, I'm going to close with this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. It's important what we're saying over our house, over our children, our grandchildren. It's important what we're speaking over this generation and the next generation. The word has got to be in our mouth. It's got to be in our heart. It's got to be in our mouth so it can be in our life. Remember, we're not blessed in hearing it. We're blessed in doing it. And the first act of doing it is speaking it. The first act of doing it is speaking it. Keep the book of the law always, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. I can't pick and choose. Everything. Then, here's the promise. Here's the blessing. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Successful in what? Building my family that will last. Building a house that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Building a house, building a family, building relationships with my children and my grandchildren and everyone within my house that is a healthy relationship, a happy, built on the word of God, fulfilling God's plan, being successful and a master builder, building a family that will last and outlast the test of time. Praise God. I hope you got something today from the word of God, talking about the family, talking about our role, talking about what we can expect and how to build a family that through COVID won't deteriorate, won't be dysfunctional, but will be strong and will be preparing and equipping our family for the days that are ahead. I'd like to encourage you right now, everybody here in the auditorium, everybody across the street in the drive-in church, those of you at home, online, wherever you might be, on vacation, at the park, at the lake, in your backyard, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads if you could and close your eyes. And you'd say, Pastor, you know, I need God in my life. I'm at a point in my life where I've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. I need God. Will God accept me, receive me? Yes, He will. God loves you like a father, like a heavenly father, like no other father. God loves you, and He sent His Son. We talked about it last weekend at Easter. He sent His Son to die for you and die for me, that we might live with Him forever. See, Pastor, I need God today. Pray for me. I want a relationship with Him. I want to get right with God. I want my family to be right. I want to be saved. I want my family saved. I want to be rescued, and I need healing. My family needs healing. My marriage needs healing. Pray for me, Pastor. You might be a Christian, a believer, but you need to revisit your decision to make God's word priority, to make God's word, not popularity, but make God's word final authority, that you need to know what's in this book, what's promised to us, so that you can respond as you're raising your children, you're building your marriage, you're looking for the right mate, whatever it might be. What does the word say about the right mate, the right choice, someone to date, who to marry? How to make it work, how to resolve, how to restore. What does the word say? I want to encourage you today to pray this prayer with me. If you're praying this prayer here in the auditorium, I want you to raise your hand right now and wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me today. Those of you online, if that's you, I want you to punch the button on the screen. You see, why do I need to do that? Because faith is an act. Faith is an act. You need to do something to act out your faith. Punch the button on the screen. And then all of us here, in this room, across the street, drive-in church, those of you online, all over the world, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray this prayer, and it's going to bring healing, restoration, salvation to you, and then you'll be contagious as a Christian, and it'll jump off on your family. In Jesus' name. Let's all pray this prayer. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.